I was in the Marine Corps. I was in boot camp. And the drill instructors had an exercise. They didn't tell us it was an exercise, we just experienced it. And it was that we would be marched somewhere and lined up. And if you're not familiar with military, you would have four squads that make up a platoon. And these four squads would each have a squad leader. And you would be in line, usually by height, behind your squad leader. So you have squad one, squad two, squad three, squad four. Then in front of those four squad leaders is a guide. And the guide is given to you as the leader of the four squads. So they are the person who's equal to everyone, but they're responsible for everybody. Amen? They're not over everybody. They're responsible for everybody. So you have the guide, the four squad leaders, four platoons all lined up, and then you have drill instructors who were usually sergeants who were responsible for this platoon. The expectation of the drill instructors was that every single member of the platoon know the voice of their leaders. And when the leader spoke, you were supposed to be able to discern the voice of the leader from the voice of everyone else on the base. So sometimes the drill instructors would march us somewhere, line us up, and then they'd walk away. And they would leave us standing in a formation with responsible leaders, but a voice that we know we're supposed to hear. And sometimes what they would do is they would go mix up with other drill instructors and they would come up and they would sound a command from behind you where you couldn't see to see if you knew which voice was calling. So they might get somebody who's not one of your drill instructors to come and give a command and do what they can to sound like your drill instructor, but it's not your drill instructor. So the expectation was that we would hear the voice, listen to the voice, and respond to the voice. Now, I'm saying that and I'm saying this because the Word of God is the voice. The Bible that we've been given, this Word is the voice of the Lord. And we should know this voice so well that if it's not really this voice, then we know how to discern that it's not. Because there's a whole lot of people talking out in the world right now. There's a whole lot of noise in the world. But you have to be able sometimes to learn how to be quiet and get in the right space so that you can hear. True worship creates the space to hear the voice of God. Amen? True worship creates the space so that when the worship stops, you can hear and discern what voice is speaking. And when I say true worship, the Bible defines worship as this. Those that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth because he's looking for that type to worship him. The ones that can worship in spirit and in truth. In other words, we are willing to worship in a way that we are worshiping according to the biblical model and the order that the Bible prescribes. And we're also willing to worship with the words that the Bible indicates. But the Bible's broken into two parts. It's broken into the old covenant and it's broken into the new covenant. When we talk about the Old Testament and the New Testament, well, there's also an old covenant and a new covenant. The old covenant is recorded mainly in the New Testament, but also in the four Gospels, because Jesus hasn't died yet. The new covenant is what happens after Jesus dies, after he is hung on a cross, after he is died on that cross, entered the grave, and then risen on the third day Because at that point, everything changes. At the point of Jesus' resurrection, everything about us changes. Because now we're no longer a group of Marines just in a platoon. We've been moved forward. We've been moved to be leaders of squadrons. And with that leadership of squadron, we're not lording over others, but we're responsible for others. And you can lead by command, or you can lead by love. But our calling is to lead by love. So we move from just being ordinary people who just signed enlistment papers and just came to becoming leaders who are now to step forward. And in that stepping forward, to take on the responsibility of leadership. And leadership not as the world thinks about it, but leadership as the Bible talks about what it means to lead. Amen? Amen. So Matthew 25 starts this conversation, verse 14 and 15. Number one, it begins with, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered to them his goods. In other words, who are these servants? They're the people who God has called out of normal and called into supernatural. So we're called out of the normal and we're called into the supernatural. And then he not only calls us into supernatural, he then delivers his goods to us. I became a squad leader when I was in boot camp. My leadership was very short term. Because you could lose your leadership, Tracy, tell them. You could lose your leadership by not responding the way you're supposed to respond. You gain the leadership by appointment. But whenever you're appointed, you can also be unappointed. I was searching in my mental dictionary to see if unappointed is actually a word. So in this parable, he calls out some leaders and he stewards the leaders with something. Now, here's what you have to understand. In the New Testament, under this new covenant, everyone who says yes to Jesus becomes a leader. Because you know what? You got appointed. But you didn't get appointed by your merit. You got appointed because you were willing to receive the gift of eternal life. And because you were willing to receive it, the package comes with things. And one of them is leadership. I'm gonna prove it to you in a minute. Matthew 14, 20, 25. He called his own servants, delivered his goods to them. All of them received his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents. Say, I'm a 5-talent person. To another, he gave 2 talents. Say, I'm a 2-talent person. Then wait a minute, I thought I was a 5-talent person. To another, he gave 1. Say, I'm a 1-talent person. To each one, according to their ability. Now say, whatever I have, I have the ability to use. If you got it, you have the ability to use it. Because he doesn't give it to you unless you have the ability. You don't have it unless you're able. So we know God is able. But you need to be able to say, I'm able. So you're able because God has come to you and he has equipped you. Because whom God calls, he what? Equips. And if you're equipped, that means you have what it takes, which means you are able. Say, I am able. Because of Jesus. That sounds spiritual, doesn't it? I'm able because of Jesus, right? Guess what? You're able if you don't have Jesus. That's hard. You're able if you don't have Jesus. You know why? Because under the old covenant, God made man and gave him gifts and talents. He made man able when he made him. You've been able whether you have God or don't have God. The problem is you've been walking around in darkness, not recognizing what you have. That's why Jesus is the light of the world, to come to reveal to you what you actually do have. So that you don't think that what is world strength is actually the only strength that God has given you, but you actually recognize God has given you the kingdom, and kingdom strength is greater than natural strength.
Amen.
He delivered to them his goods. He went on a journey. Let's go to verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Tell your neighbor, say, one day, I have to settle accounts. I'm going to talk slow so it sinks in. One day, I'm going to have to settle accounts. I've been given things, and one day, I'm going to have to settle all my accounts. Now, we were, during when the economic crisis happened, I shared with you guys maybe a little while ago, economic crisis happened, and we had some properties, and we had some other stuff going on financially. We were in very good shape financially, but the economic crisis hit, and all of a sudden, you had all this equity, and next thing you know, you are in the middle of the Pacific. Y'all know what that means, right? Underwater, right? All of a sudden, I'm out in the Pacific. I'm thinking, how am I going to get on this? And I thought, oh, Lord, I'm praying one day. And I said, I know. People do it all the time. I'm filing bankruptcy. I'm getting out of this hole. Me and Tammy made an appointment. We went and sat down with the attorney. He started telling us all the things what we need to do to try to get out of this thing because everybody's filing bankruptcy. I knew people I knew had all kinds of stuff. They were saying, man, I'm filing bankruptcy. All kinds of people filing. I mean, people who I knew they were still making a couple hundred thousand dollars a year and they was filing bankruptcy. Your president-to-be has filed bankruptcy over and over here. I'm like, why am I feeling bad about filing bankruptcy? I'm finna get me an attorney. I'm filing. So we went and we sat down and listening to them talk, and then the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, you made the debt. You're going to pay the debt. You're going to pay it. And I said, okay. So we met with him, heard everything. Now, if anybody who's had to file bankruptcy, like I said, I'm no condemnation in Christ Jesus. But the Holy Spirit told me in that chair that day, you can't do it. Y'all know sometimes two siblings are sitting in a chair and they talk to their parents and one says, I want to go here. And the parent says, you can go. And the other says, oh, good, I'm going. He said, no, you're not going. It was one of those kind of things. You might have been able to do it, but the Lord said, no, you're not going. You're not going to do it. And not because it's different or love or anything else, not because it's wrong. It's because God said, don't do it. But if he tells you not to do it, he means to explain to you, son, you're able. to eliminate this debt. You're going to settle all these accounts. And the Holy Spirit supernaturally settled some of that stuff. I'm like, it's gone? Yeah, it's gone. God did some things. He did some creative things. He did some things I wasn't expecting. He did all kinds of things, but this one's gone. That one's gone. This one's gone. This one's gone. And I got two left. I got my house, and I got them pesky student loans for them kids of mine. That's it. But they got to go. They going like the other ones went. Because I've seen God move in this way so he can move in that way. Because he's already shown me he can give me the ability to do things that I don't think I can do. He's already shown me that he can do things through me if I'm willing to do. Amen? One day you got to settle the accounts. We can ignore some things, but one day you're going to have to settle accounts. So why not get with God and let's settle these accounts? And I'm not talking about debt right now. I'm talking about whatever it is that you need to account for that you've been avoiding or putting off or wondering how it's going to ever happen. And you've been putting off one of these days. I'm talking about all those, that list of things. The things you got to go down, sit down with God and say, you know what, God? I'm a five-talent person. Now, if you don't believe you're a five-talent person, then renegotiate. Say, Lord, I'm a two-talent person. And if you don't believe you got two talents, then say, okay, Lord, I know I at least got one talent. You called me. You touched me. You gave me life, so I know I at least got one talent. And if that's all you can see you got, then you sit down with that one talent and you talk to God and you let God show you how to work that one you got. Because that one is enough. Because he gives it to you according to your ability. And if you got it, that means it will work. Verse 20, next verse. So he who had received five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I have gained five more talents besides them. I've gained five more talents besides them.
Praise the Lord for five talents. Amen. But I want you to see this. His Lord, again, his Lord. Not talking about strangers. Talking about his Lord. His Lord said to him, well done, my good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Okay? Couple of points. Number one, all the servants received something, correct? The servant with five went, he traded, he did, he got back five more from what he did. In other words, he had an increase. When he got an increase, he brought it back to the Lord. He said, Lord, look, you gave me five, now I got 10. The Lord says, well done, good and faithful servant. Because you were faithful over five, I'm going to make you ruler over many. Two points here. Number one, when we follow God and we do what God called us to do, when we increase, number one, God still gives you leadership over what you increase. But number two, he promises to multiply what you increase because you were faithful over little. Now I'm going to make you ruler over more. I'm going to give you more. When I was at my previous church, Revival Center, when I first started teaching classes, I went into the class and I had, first class I had to teach, I had three students. I went into the class, and I was like, oh, man, I should cancel the class, and I'm going into all this thing. And the Spirit said to me so clear, he said, teach them like there's 1,000 people in the room. I never canceled another class. If people showed up, I was going to teach them. And they was going to get it from me like it was a whole bunch of people in the room. They would get it like you are two amongst thousands. And I'm going to talk to y'all. I'm going to teach you like that. And that's what I would do. Why? Because the Holy Spirit told me, he said, you got to be faithful over the little things if you're ever going to be ruler over something else. If you can't be faithful with two people in a class, why are you asking for all this other stuff? If you can't do with this. And so what the enemy does, he comes and he gets believers to discount the 5 talents. Or discount the 2 talents, or discount the 1 talent, because we think, wow, but people are over there doing this and doing that. But you know what? I don't care. I don't care how many people show. I'm going to do the same thing. Because I've come to understand that if I'm faithful over things, God will increase them. If I'm faithful over things, God will increase them. So if you even begin with the concept of worship, can I be faithful in my closet, worshiping the Lord? Can I go into my own little quiet space and can I just worship the Lord as though that there's 25-piece band playing and then all this stuff is going on and there's people swinging flags and there's all kind of praise dancers. Can I go in my closet and have an experience like all that is going on because I'm just going to be faithful with the praise I got? I know people who will bounce from place to place looking for the right thing, looking for this, it's got to be perfect, got to have this, got to have that. I'm trying to find the right place. But you know what? The right place always, Pastor Nate, you say this. He said the problem with church is people show up. Problem with church is people say, you finally found the perfect church and then you showed up. And it was all downhill from there, right? Because what you make of what you have will indicate what you're going to receive later. What you make of what you have will determine what you have later on, because you only get more by being faithful over what you have. You can only get more from God by being faithful by what you have. That is why when Moses is walking through the desert and God's looking for a deliverer to go into Egypt, Moses is walking along and the Bible says this in Exodus chapter 3. It says, Moses was walking by and he saw a burning bush. And this is what it says. And it says, and after Moses turned aside, then God spoke. See, for years, I would have this impression. Moses is walking along and this burning bush said, hey, Moses, look at me. Hey, Moses, come, look, come over here, Moses. No, the bush was over there burning, minding its own business. Wasn't saying nothing to Moses. And God wasn't even finna talk to Moses unless Moses turned aside and Moses went to it. See, that's what God does. God may get your attention, but then God's never going to make you do anything. God will never make us do anything. God sent that fish after Jonah, right? God was making him do it. No, he wasn't. God said, you know what? You told me you was going to do it. You told me you was a prophet for God. You acknowledge your calling. You've already stepped forward and said you were. So now I'm going to send this fish after you and I'm going to take you to the shore. It's going to be your choice whether you go and now obey. The fish didn't make him go. The fish just took him to the shore. He'd still go and do. Amen? All right. Next verse. Oops, excuse me. We're going to go verse 24. Skip down to verse 24. So we had the man that received 5, he doubled his. Man received 2, he doubled his. Then there's the guy with one. Verse 24, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew. Now, I read this passage many times. I got towards the end of the passage, and God says at the end of the passage, he says, take the talent from the one. Take the talent from the guy who has one and give it to the guy who has 10. I said, man, God is a gangster. Are you going to take this dude's stuff and give it to the one who already got stuff? What? Why would God take from the need of the person who has the least? He has a need. Why would you take his stuff and give it to this guy who's already got everything he needs? Because God's not concerned with our sad stories. God's concerned with our faithfulness. Listen, the Raiders have a guy on their team by the name of Alden Smith. He used to play for the 49ers. Very good defensive end. Talented. Probably probably on par with one of the best players that they have in that position. But there's a guy who's less than him that's better than him. You know why? Because he's not available. The most beautiful car in the world is nothing compared to a hoopty that runs. It doesn't make any difference how shiny it is. If it's not available, it's useless to me. It doesn't make a difference how beautiful something is, how great it is. It doesn't make a difference if I'm the most talented person in the world. If I'm not available to God, somebody who doesn't even have what I have is more valuable to God. It's availability that's most important to God. Faithfulness is most important to God. When you think about what it is that God wants from me, God wants faithfulness. And if he can get faithfulness out of somebody who got one talent, they're more than a person with 10 who's not available. When I first was called to ministry, I'm praying one day, and the Holy Spirit said, you gotta step forward into ministry. I said, oh, no, I can't. I said, Lord, I said, this church has got 120 people and 20 of them is church elders. What do I need to step forward for? What do I have to possibly bring? I've been saved for 6 months. What am I supposed to do? I have nothing to say to these people, my new members instructor have the whole Bible memorized. I got a guy teaching the class who's got a PhD in theology. I got this guy with this anointing. I got this person prophesying. I got this person praying all night long. All these elders, what in the world am I supposed to do? This guy's talking to every man in the church. He's discipling every man around. What in the world am I supposed to do? There's no need for me. I looked around one day and I was the last one there. Everybody else was moved on because God's not needing what you think he needs. God needs our availability. God needs our faithfulness. God needs for us to say yes to him and be able to just put ourselves in position and let him use whatever it is that you have. And if you're faithful with that thing, guess what? A couple of cycles of being faithful, the man with one has caught up with the guy with three, with two, with four. He catches up. Why? Because God doesn't need. God is doing it for you. God's trying to get more into your hands. God's trying to help you. And so as a help to you, God then gives you opportunity to take what you've been given and maximize it before him. Isaiah 48:17, God said, behold, I am the Lord God, your Redeemer. I'm your Redeemer. In other words, I see in you, in your unredeemed state, and I have redeemed you. And now I'm committing to you two things. Number one, I'm going to teach you the way you should go. And number two, I'm going to teach you how to become profitable. I'm going to teach you how to be profitable. I'm going to show you the way you should go, and I'm going to make you profitable. Now, why would God be worried about profit? Isn't that like a money thing? No. God created everything he created. Think about this. Think about this. Everything God created that we call alive, God gave it the mechanism to reproduce. Every single thing that God made that we say is alive, he gave it the ability to reproduce. And matter of fact, he said in the garden to Adam, you need to be fruitful and multiply. He's called us to be profitable, to be fruitful. That's what he's called us to do. He's called us to be fruitful individuals. He's called us to be people who can multiply whatever we are given. But our training teaches us to maintain and not to increase. The school system taught me how to maintain. It taught me the best you can do is get an A. So if you can get an A, stop trying. There's nothing past the A. So once you got the A, what's next? There's nothing else. So I was one of those people who I could get the A without really working hard. So guess what I did? I stopped working hard. And I started the habit of not working hard because I can get an A without even trying. So why do I need to try? And that behavior gets reinforced in you, and you wake up one day and realize you have been living the gift of imminent potential. You got all kinds of potential, kid. Yeah, one of these days. Oh, you're gifted. One of these days. One of these days. Yeah, one of these days, man. One of these days, I'm going to hit my potential. I'm 53 years old. Do you think I hit my potential yet? I spend a lot of time waiting to get to my potential. And then one day, the Holy Spirit said, no, you need to move in your potential. You need to move in your abilities. You need to stop sitting there with five talents in your pocket, acting like you have one. You need to stop sitting around looking like or acting as though you don't have what you have. So, God is calling for people to move in stewardship. What have I been given? Verse 24, then he who had one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. God is love. But God has expectations. You know, I had this coach once. It was always on me. I mean, man, don't leave me alone. It's like, you know, I'm trying to blend into the crowd, running laps, trying to blend in, you know, trying to get in the middle of the pack, right? Because the guy in the back's gonna get it. The guy in the front gonna make everybody else mad. So I'm trying to stay in the middle of the pack, right? Moten, you're going too slow. It's like 10 guys behind me. No, you're going too slow. In other words, you can do better. It doesn't make a difference what the group is doing. The question is, are you doing your best? And I couldn't understand it. I hated it. We were in track practice, and we were over there out there jumping over the bar, jumping over the bar, having a good time. He said, Moten, put that bar up. Coach, we jump as high as we can jump. Put that bar up to 6 feet. We can't jump that high. No, you're going to put that bar up. He had to raise the bar on me. He rose the bar on me, and you know what happened? I went over the bar. I could have kept jumping over 5'6". I could have kept going to meets and beating a couple people. I could have kept jumping 5'8". You know, I could have kept doing that. But he raised the bar on me. He raised the bar on me. And when he rose the bar, I rose over the bar. Why? Because I was already able. But I hadn't been challenged. Some obstacles in your life right now are there because God knows you're able, but he needs to put a challenge in front of you so that you can overcome it, because he is one who makes overcomers. He already knows you. He called his own servants to him. Turn the book of Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation 2, I believe, is chapter 16, verse 16 or verse 17. Revelation chapter 2, verse 16 or verse 17. One of the two. I do not have my whole Bible memorized. I got some in there, but I ain't got it all. But I happen to know where this one is. Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, God is talking to the churches. And he's telling the churches, there's some people who are going to come short and there's certain people who are going to overcome. And there's battles out there. There's things out there. There's obstacles out there. There's challenges out there. There's something out there for every single church. But there are going to be some of y'all who are going to understand what I've given you, and you're going to overcome. Some people are not going to overcome. Not because I haven't equipped them. Not because I haven't called them. Not because I don't love them. But some people are not going to commit to overcoming. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm committed to being an overcomer. Because I've been given gifts and talents according to my ability. And I believe in God who's activating all my abilities. Because I'm a five-talent kind of person. Come on now. Revelation chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse, we'll read this whole thing here. Repent then, or else I will come to you quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who's able to hear, let him listen and heed what the Spirit says to the assemblies or the churches. To him who overcomes or conquers, I will give him to eat of the manna that is hidden. Manna is the meal you can't get from nobody but God. Manna is the stuff nobody else can't give you what God wants to give you. I'm going to let you eat of the manna, the meal from God. I'm going to let you eat of that if you overcome. Now, get this one. You thought that was good. And I will give him a white stone with a new name engraved on the stone, which no one knows or understands except he receives it. Listen, you got battles nobody else can relate to. You got things in your life nobody else can understand what you're going through. You got specific things that only you know what you've been through, where you've been, how you got there, and where you started. Nobody knows where you've been, but he says when you become an overcomer, when you use what I've given you and you come out on the other side victorious, because thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. So he's already assured that I can. So when I come out on the other side, he's going to give me a stone that has a name engraved, not something he wrote with a little pen or something, not something that's going to get washed off by the ocean or by my sweat in my hand. It's something that's engraved, that's grained in, something that he gives to me that's going to have a name on it that nobody even understands. You got a unique journey. People don't understand your journey. People don't understand your walk. People don't understand where you've been. People don't understand what you've had to overcome. But God knows what you overcome. And not only does he know it, he's ready to reward you, even if people don't think you should have a reward. Some of us had difficult roads. Some of us had difficult things. Some of us have had to struggle and do a lot of stuff. And when you come around, people don't understand why you don't respond this way or act that way, or you don't say this or you don't say that, or you don't do what they want you to do, or don't do it the way you want it to do, because you have a unique journey. You got a unique journey. And that unique journey, God sees and God understands. But what he expects is that the uniqueness of your journey not hinder you from using what you got. that did not hinder you from using what you have. And it can't stop you. Joseph, thrown in prison. But he used what he had. Even in the prison, he used what he had. Made a slave, he used what he had. Moses gets exiled out of the king's house. Goes out in the wilderness. What do we got to do? Use what he had. You got to use what he had. And because he used what he had, he's faithful over the few. And God made him ruler over more. But it's faithfulness that God rewards. All right. I got to stop here. Faithful. I'm going to read verse 17 to you one more time. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes. Tell your neighbor, I'm an overcomer. I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone. And on the stone, a new name written which no one understands except him that receives it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 2017 is a year for the overcomers. 2017 is the year for the overcomers. And by being the year of the overcomer, you need to already be expecting the resistance to come. And when the resistance comes, you don't hide, you don't duck, you don't ask God why, you just say, thank you, Lord, because I'm able. I am able. You find yourself in a situation, it's a deep, dark hole. You don't know how you got there. You need to say, ooh, this is a tough one, but thank you, Lord, that I'm able. Thank you, I'm coming out. I'm able. I am able. I am able. And not only are you able, not you're not unable, but not only are you able, but when you come out, you're going to lead others out with you. Because you're a leader. You're a leader. You called out. And when you come out of what you're in, you're going to lead other people out. And many times God will use that thing that he had to deliver you from to author how you lead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand on our feet. Praise the Lord. Grab your neighbor by the hand. We're going to make a declaration and pray. We're going to make this declaration. Father, I thank you that you have made me able. You have given me 1, 2, or 5 talents, abilities. And I thank you that you're also committed to teaching me how to use what I have, to be an overcomer of every circumstance and every situation that I'm facing right now and in my future. And I thank you for making me an overcomer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you're here for any, if you're here and you have any need for prayer, we want to pray with you. We pray for 4 things. We pray for 1, if you've never given your life to the Lord and you need to make a dedication of your life, we want to pray for you. Pray for you if you have walked with God, but you have fallen back and you need prayer. We want to pray and have you be restored. The 3rd thing is if you have physical things that you need healing for, we want to pray for you about those things. And the final thing, if you're here and you believe God's called you to be a part of this ministry, we want to pray for you about that as well.